and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now Is the Time. It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast booth, Stove Crew number 5. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting with their leader.
Hi, I'm Bella Bevilacqua from State College, Pennsylvania.
Hi, I'm Olivia Nowlin from San Jose, California.
And I'm Kim Nowlin from San Jose, California.
And I'm Mariah Tejada from San Francisco, California.
Ladies, welcome to the podcast. Welcome back, Bella and Mariah. Welcome, Kim and Olivia, for the first time here. Welcome to Guatemala. I think I talked to you probably the most all week for about 5 minutes this afternoon.
Right.
And I don't think I've... Hi, Olivia. How are you? I'm Sean.
Good.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I feel like we haven't talked at all. So I'm really excited to talk to all of you because I love talking to newbies and veterans. And I love talking to people who've never been to this place that we're working this week to hear what your impressions are. So tell me about, let's start with today. What did you guys do today? What do you remember about today? I know like a month's worth of stuff happens in a day. What do you remember about today? Bella, you're laughing.
Well, our first stove was kind of difficult because the floor wasn't level. So me and Mariah got some hose and started leveling it down. And then Olivia and Kim were like bringing us little buckets of dirt to like use to level down the ground. And that took forever. And then on top of that, our hole was like ginormous because it was all slant.
It wasn't the hole for the stove pipe. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because it wasn't even just not level. The house was on a rock and then on like a slant. So it wasn't just the area we were putting the stove was slanted, the whole floor was slanted. It was quite the process. It took us like 2 hours.
The whole village is
on a mountain.
Slanted. I mean seriously, I just getting in and out of my vehicle on that hill. I mean, you have to factor the hill into everything. I swung my backpack around my shoulder, and I almost lost it, like, rolling down the hill. Because, I mean, you know, your whole life is on a hill. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it took a lot longer than what you were planning.
Yeah.
A little more frustrating.
And then we did the last one in, like, 30 minutes.
Well, and Mariah, we were taking so much time on the first one. And she's like, well, thankfully... the next house is right across the street.
I'm like, that's great.
And it was across the street and down another hill and winding down this path that the local children use for a dirt slide. So we're coming down this precariously. We've got our bags, but those children, God bless them, they took our stove bags and put them around their head. Like a headband, and carried them down. I had the pipes from me, and they made it down. But once we got there, I think they have the best spot.
Oh gosh, it's
in
beautiful.
Buena Vista. It's
they're on like the edge of the cliff.
Yeah,
basically,
oh, really?
There's like 10 steps between the door and the cliff, but it's not very safe.
And there in the kitchen was a perfectly placed stove.
Just like perfect.
It was perfect.
Mm-hmm. And the hole cut beautifully. It was great.
And the kids were awesome.
Redeemed yourself from earlier.
The kids were awesome.
Is that one of your favorite parts, Olivia? The kids?
Yes.
Yeah. Your mom was telling me you're sold. Like, you're ready to come next year.
Yeah, I want to come next year, maybe for 2 weeks.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, sold. Should we sign something? Tell me about the kids.
They're so sweet. Like... Even if you don't speak a lot of Spanish, if you just say, like, hola, you ask them for their name, and they'll follow you around, they'll give you hugs, they might kiss you on the cheek. It's really adorable.
And do you speak a little bit of Spanish?
Just a little.
Mm-hmm. But it's enough.
Yeah, it's enough.
Hmm. Well, this was one of her motivation, or why she wanted to take Spanish. So she just... finished seventh grade, that's the first year that you take Spanish. And so she's completed that and is continuing on. And this originally she was going to do French, and just sounds like the cool language. And she's like, well, if I'm really going to Guatemala, it'd probably be a good idea if I take Spanish. So next year will be very different, I think, for her, especially.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've picked up a lot already. It's only been a couple days, right?
Yes, I have.
It's amazing. Yeah. Kim, you were telling me that Olivia is the reason you're here. Is that right?
That is correct. I actually had been to Guatemala before on another mission trip with our church. This was back in 1999, and it was before I was married. And I always wanted to come back here. I mean, the people are just amazing, and you just want to come back. But then the next year I got married and then started having my children, and life kind of just took over. And, of course, being at Valley Life, the Santa Clara Foursquare Church, this is talked about all the time, and we see mission teams go every year and share with us. And just 2 years ago, I think it was, Olivia started saying, I really want to go. And my first concern was age, and oh, she's so young, and then just our family schedule. I mean, just the typical excuses that we come up with. And so finally this year, I'm like, you know what? If my daughter is so very anxious to go serve the people of Guatemala, then how can I possibly stop her? And I decided I wanted to go. I could have sent her alone, I think, but I didn't want to. Not because I was afraid she wouldn't be safe, but I wanted to experience this with her. I wanted to see her, have her first experience here together. So yeah, she's glad I'm here.
So what would you say to those parents who are concerned about safety, are concerned about finances, are living busy lives, and it's like, well, we have a lot of options, we have a lot of things. What would you say to them based on your experience? Because I think I remember you telling me in the past, like, yeah, I'm going to do that someday. Yeah, I'd kind of like to go. And we hear that a lot, you know, places that I visit and like concerts and that. Dave Tousley was one that, you know, he was on my, he thinks he's going to come 1 year, but he's never going to come. But he did, you know. But what would you say to parents who have considered doing this kind of thing?
Well, I think it's one of those things. I think the unknown is what scares people the most. And I would say that was even my fear, even being here before. I think just not knowing what it was going to be like in this particular area. I feel thankful that I'd say talk to other people. I mean, obviously our church is all here practically. And it's like, I trust them. And so I know that they've told me what the experience is like. And I think in the end, I think it's just fear. And I talked about this last night in our worship service. I think it's just that, not just a scared something's going to happen to my daughter fear, but it's just like, wow, this is a new thing. And I would just encourage them to pray about it and to step out. I mean, get the information, talk to other people, talk to other parents. I certainly would offer myself up to anybody you want to refer me to. They can call me. I'm serious. In any of your other churches or... Because I think that helps. I mean, Rochelle and Rodney are good friends of mine. And Daniel, you know, I've seen him since he was a baby. So to know that he has been here, the nice children, obviously, all of them. So I think for me, in the end, it was a different kind of fear, if you will. It was just, I don't know, not wanting to step out. It's easy to make excuses. But because we have a vacation next week. So it was easy to say, oh, we can't do this year because we're going out of town the next week. And we just, instead of flying to California, we're flying to Denver to meet up with my family and get a one-way ticket home with my husband. So it can be done, for sure. But talk to other parents, and that might be a good idea. Have parents available to talk. If you meet someone who's like, here, email Kim, she'll...
Let's make a list. We'll do it before you guys leave.
Like, Rodney and Rochelle would be excellent. I mean, we have so many that have their kids here. Any of the newer, Kyle and Courtney, I mean,
Speaking of kids, Bella, you were a little kid when you first came. How many years have you been now?
Six.
6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've kind of grown up coming here, and this is a new location that we're serving this week, but you were here last week at Hogar Miguel. You guys have a bunch of... How many sponsored kids do you guys have over there?
Six.
Yeah. Wow. It's awesome. Yeah. Talk about this week and this site, this village, these homes, families. How are they similar or different from places you've served before?
always compare where we go to Ogar because that's where I've been the first 4 years. So the past 2 years I went to, well, here and Paso a Paso. And both locations, well, all of the locations are similar with, like, the people who are in charge of the places. Like, they all have, like, a big heart to the kids that they're trying to help. And I actually really like Buena Vista. Like, I can't wait to, like, show my parents pictures of it. Like, every time, like, today when we were on the cliff, like, I was taking so many pictures because I was like, wow, I wish my parents were here to see how pretty this mm-hmm. is. Like, the views in Ogar Miguel are, like, really pretty. But then when you go there, it's, like, 10 times better. So I can't wait to show them pictures. And a lot of the kids are similar to the kids at Ogar. They'll come up to you and, like, start talking really rapidly Spanish to you. And you're like, it's me. It, like, takes me, like, a few seconds to process, oh, yeah, I'm in a Spanish-speaking country. I have to, like, think that way. So, I don't know. It's a lot. It's very similar.
Mariah, you've been on several mission trips before. You came here for your first time last year. You'd heard a lot about it from
Christina.
Nice. What did you tell people when you came back after last year, and what made you decide to come back not only for 1 week, but 2 weeks this year?
It was a very different experience of a mission trip than previous years. Just the living conditions. I've done more where it's very much more rugged, and this was very different, but it was also very different in the sense that it's a group of people that work together, who've been working together for years. The volunteers that come, and they all are kind of like family, and it's this thing where you come together at night and you're all, it's a very different feel, and it's one that is very, super cool. Because, like, this year, I came back and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to see Bella, like, from last year, from Philadelphia. Like, we live so far across the country, and yet we're still, like, we've been friends over this past year. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited to see Bella. And next year, I'm like, I'm excited to see the Wisconsins again next year, whatever.
The Wisconsins?
I mean,
it's not a last name, it's a state. People.
Sorry, the Wisconsinites. Yeah. That's what they call themselves. They corrected me. they say it with an accent. Ogar is just such an incredible place, and one that is not like one I've worked at before, and the kids, and I came back saying this was one of the best trips I've been on, and just it's always great to go on a mission trip where you're working with an organization that is still going to be there when you leave, because a lot of times you can come in and you can put stoves in people's houses and you can leave, and that's great, and that changes their way of life. But when you put a stove in someone's house where their kid is still in a program where God is being fed to them, and they're just being so loved by Karen and Estuardo, or here by Lillian and her, which is an incredible program. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, but there's something way different about that, and way more, I think, life-impacting for them, because it goes beyond their physical need. Because, a tropical storm could come in 3 weeks and take out that stove, but they still have Lillian there, the place we're working at this week, sorry, I'm talking about two different places, but you know what I mean? They still have Lillian there. So I decided to come back because it's just, it's just a different experience like I haven't had before. And not to say I don't want to go other places, but this has been pretty great. Just the family aspect of seeing people again and again, and just the work that's done at both places is incredible. So, definitely be back next year.
Get that signed.
You just need to start, have a list on the wall.
Yeah.
Have people sign contracts
before they leave. Now, I have this piece of paper that you signed 9 months ago, and you mentioned Corazón de los Niños and Lillian Domendez. She's the director of this amazing organization. You said you've never seen anything like it. We've never seen anything like it. We've met dozens of directors and organizations. We've toured many facilities who are interested in working with us, and we've never seen anything like that. Describe some of your first impressions. We had a chance to visit their offices. You had a chance to listen to Lillian, look at photos of the different things that they do. What are some of the things that stood out for you when you were learning about the program at Corazon de los Niños?
Okay, I think it's super cool. They have this chart system.
Oh yeah.
Their way of keeping track of things. And for us coming from California, well, from us coming from California, we come from Silicon Valley. It's like technology is it. And so if you're not up to date on it, you know, the latest technology, then you're not doing it right. And I think coming here, you would totally judge them and say, wait, you're not keeping it digitally, or you're not, you know, you're not doing something super intricate where you, like, just scan a kid.
Where's
and, like,
iPad?
Yeah, you know, or, like, each kid has, like, an ID tag that you just scan the barcode and, like, things pop up. Like, no, but they have this, just this chart of, like, with a paper and numbers and push pins. But it's so simple, but it's so brilliant. And I think it's hard to kind of explain over a podcast, but it's, you'll probably see pictures, but it's so brilliant, and it just is the epitome of how they run their organization. And just, I mean, they offer so many different things. I don't know how she, you know, the medical and just the tutoring the kids after school and the public health and working with the families and teaching them how to, like, cook food with their stoves and, like, you know, just, it goes far beyond putting the stove in and, like, letting them figure it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the biggest thing that strikes me about, I guess, Lillian specifically, is that here's a woman who, from what you said, was raised pretty well off and has a very good education, but her amazing commitment and honestly love for the communities that she serves is just, I mean, it's amazing. She could be doing a lot of other things with her life.
Yes, she could.
She could be living, you know, in the lap of luxury and doing, kind of pursuing her own thing and still serving God and being wonderful, yeah. Wonderful person. But the fact that she, I mean, that just, out of all the things we saw, I just kept coming back to that, because that's where it begins, is her heart for the people of this region and her just desire to serve them so selflessly, and to see she's so joyful about everything. She gets so excited. Like when we showed her the flowers we got from the family, she was like, oh, I thought she was going to cry. She just thought that was the sweetest thing. And then, you know, the other day with seeing 197, she just got excited. Like, well, we should serve more. We should give more stuff out. She's yeah. just... And
we had a record of 197 people go through our donations
in one day.
Yeah.
So that's what strikes me the most about Corazon de los Niños is Lillian and her art.
How about you, Olivia? Anything stand out during our little tour that we had there?
I agree with Mariah. That's like, it's really cool how they can all do that. Like, just without any technology. Just a piece of paper and some push pins and a marker. I don't know. But that was really cool.
Yeah, they have a pin for... What are some of the different things they had pins for? So there's a big chart, and we'll show. Well, you'll go to nowisthetimeformissions.com. We'll see pictures on there. But there's this big chart on the wall, right? And it's mm-hmm. got hundreds of little boxes.
Yeah.
And each box represents a family. And
a kid.
Or a child yeah. in the program, that's right. And then they had different push pins in each box, right?
Yeah.
What were some of the pins that you remember?
They were each colored, and they represented, one represented, like, after-school tutoring. And then another one represented they come here for clothes. And then another one represented they, they come here for, like, medicine.
Was there, like, one for, like, meals? Or?
So then they had little baskets that you buy at, like,
yeah.
a craft
You're
store,
right.
and they would hang them on the push pins, and that was the one that represented the kids come there for food. It was really interesting. It's actually kind of cute, too, because
yeah.
it all cut
yeah.
out of, like, some fun shape. I think it was shaped like a pear.
Yes,
like
it was.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the whole medical chart, that's a whole other chart,
oh, yeah.
right? And they seem to track all that stuff, like you said, manually, which is incredibly labor-intensive, but extremely organized.
And the kids are seen 4 times a year.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
American children are seen once a year.
Yeah.
yeah,
and there's one doctor, and she sees them all 4 times a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Anything stand out for you, Bella?
Yeah, the having the medical stuff on site, I wish that Karen and Estuardo could have something like that, because they, like... When we were there, I think they were driving to the dentist or something, they like packed kids in their van to go to the dentist when they could just have it like on site. That would be awesome. Something that they could look for in future years or something. But I that like really stood out to me because it was one woman helping so many children. Actually, she said 24 per day.
Yeah, there's 1,000 children in the program.
Wow.
Plus their family members all get served as well.
Right.
So that, yeah. I don't know how she does it. She's so calm.
She just seemed like the doctor. She just seemed like she was just chilling out for the day. And I was like, you're going to see 24 patients today.
Yeah.
Like, I know. Do you have an assistant?
No.
Okay. No triage. No. No advice nurse.
Yeah, she's great. Tell me about the families that you've met, that you've served. Tell me about their homes. Describe, Olivia, describe to someone who's never been to Buena Vista or a family living in what we call extreme poverty. It's not really a good description. You know, what does that mean? How would you describe some of the homes that you've been in and just the families that you've met?
So the homes, there's like 4 tin walls, and then they have like a tin roof, and then they have like maybe like wood slabs inside with nails on them to hang pots and pans, and then they might have a clothing line outside to dry clothes, and then they have a separate room that's their kitchen, because it usually gets all smoky, and then. The families are awesome. They're all so happy, and they have like they barely have anything, but they're just so happy. And like when you go and build the stove, it's always like they're happy to help you. And the kids, they're just so cute. I love them so much.
Hmm. Anything you'd add, Kim? Your impressions? I know you've heard a lot. You've seen a lot of pictures, mm-hmm. but it's kind of different when you're standing in someone's house, isn't it?
It is. I mean, like you said, you see pictures, but I don't. Pictures are so impersonal. They can communicate a really good picture. My 2 photographer friends here. At one point, we're building a stove today. I'm like, hello, and Chris. All 3. I had all 3 of them. So we have Christina, Bella, Maria out on the cliff, and I'm like, we're building a stove here, and we're late.
It was the one time last week and a half.
So I appreciate good photography, and that a picture can be worth 1,000 words, but I think a flesh and blood people is far different thing, and to see the way that they live, that sounds so bad, it sounds so the way you live, but it And as Olivia said, it's something that struck me the first time I was here, and it still strikes me, is their, I'm going to say contentment, and I might be wrong. I'm not saying that they don't have hard times or they don't feel like they're, mm-hmm. you know, the left out. I'm not saying they don't have feelings like that, but it's never really come across to me. I've never really, I just feel like they were grateful for everything. They're willing to help. They're hardworking people, hardest working people I've ever come across. Yesterday, I guess this woman needed a scraper of some sort, because this small older woman finds this red plastic top to like a plastic bin, and then she disappears. I was holding the roof, so I'm watching her like, where's she going? She comes back and she's got like this machete that's like bigger than her. Whack, 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 whack. And she gets a piece. Yeah, this'll do. I'm like, you know, Americans, we're like, oh, well, I'll just go down to Sur La Table and buy myself a new kitchen spatula. And that's not what they do. They're so resourceful and hardworking. It's true. And I look at it, you know, to look at it from our eyes, because our culture is so different. But, you know, they're resourceful. They are very grateful. They're very hardworking. I'm humbled by them, quite honestly. I was sharing with, I don't know if you were there, it was Christina. I have shared a couple times, I have a hard time taking pictures, especially of the children, because I'm like, okay, so what if four women came to install a new stove in my house, mm-hmm. which could be possible, right? My stove goes out, and they start taking pictures of my house and my kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, get out of here. And I know it's a cultural thing, but I don't want them to, I mean, they'd love it, but I don't want them to feel like we're, and you even speak to that. I don't want them to feel like they're, I'm just going to say it, animals in a zoo, mm-hmm. that we're coming here to, ooh, and I don't think that's our hearts. We love the kids, we love the families, but I just.
But know. The perception could be
right
something different so than it's your been, intention.
Yes, absolutely. And, like, I don't know how they think. My goal is to learn Spanish by next year. Wow. I want to know how they think.
Yeah.
I want to know. I want to be able to communicate with them, like really communicate with them, because we are from two different cultures and things are different, very different, and that's okay. But I don't want to come in, you know, we're kind of the Americans coming here to save the day,
mm-hmm.
and them to think that we think they're better than, or that we think we're better than they are.
We talked about that last week in worship. That's funny you said that. Yeah.
That was the long answer to...
That's a great answer.
It's not a question.
Mm-hmm. I could talk to you ladies all night, but I won't, because I know you have other things on your agenda. Do you have any final thoughts for family, friends, people who might be listening back home, people who maybe have never come to Guatemala, who might be thinking about it, or who couldn't come this year, but may sometime in the future?
Can I say two things?
Yes, you may.
Okay. So, coming back a second time, because I did 2 weeks last year, I was doing 2 weeks this year, and I was kind of like, oh, last year was so great. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what if I've never gone to a second, you know, the same place twice, and so I was like, what if it's just not as great, so I don't want to go with any expectations, and I think these 2 weeks far exceeded, like, anything I could have anticipated, and so, you know, you've been before, and you don't really want to do it again, it's different every time, and it's, I mean, even at Hogar, we did something completely different than we've never done before, mm-hmm. and could not have predicted that I would be painting, like, Superman on the wall, like, you know, that was not supposed to happen. So I think just, you know, if you've come before and you're kind of like, oh, do I come again? Do I maybe not come again next time? Like, definitely come again. Like, you have a different experience every time. And if you haven't come before and you're scared about it, this is probably the most comfortable out of your comfort zone mission trip.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
That should be your tagline.
The most comfortable out of... Like, you are out of your comfort zone because you drive 40 minutes into poverty every day, but you're, you know, we stay in a nicer place, and you have a shower and you have clean towels every day, and, mm-hmm. and it's great, but, you know, you still lounge around in, like, sweatpants and mission trip clothes and sit on the floor when you're hanging out, but you still go out into places that are so in desperate need of just people to come and love those places. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Just whoever you are, come.
Yeah. I'm going to re-answer what would I say to parents? Mm-hmm. I would say, please don't deny your child the opportunity to come and serve Jesus in this way. And you also would just miss out on seeing how, I already know how incredible my daughter is, but just to see her this last few days and just the way that she's worked so hard and just loved on those kids and just stepped way out of her comfort zone. And so she's an American teen. I'll say no more than that. And to see that as her mother has just been such a privilege and an honor, and I couldn't be prouder of her, and you don't want to miss out on that because of some fear. And I'm not saying your fears aren't something to think about and to examine, but you don't want to miss out on that, or deny, you know, if your child has a heart to do something like that, please don't deny them that opportunity.
Amen.
For one of my slideshows, I put in a quote that said something around the words like to grow your faith, you have to step outside of your comfort zone. And it's really easy for parents to say, oh yeah, you can go on a mission trip, but it has to be within the States.
Mm.
So that's what, how, like, my cousin, like, she's wanted to go with me to Guatemala since the first time I went. And every year she's like, oh, can't you make it somewhere closer? Like, like, even Arizona, like, your cousin went to Arizona, you can go there. But, like, you don't get the, like, I mean, yeah, you're serving somebody in the States, and that's wonderful, too. But, like, to be outside of your comfort zone, like, even for my aunt to be outside of her comfort zone, sending her child to a different country, like, that's something huge. So I think everybody should try to step outside of their comfort zone at least once in their life.
Like, if you're going to get on a plane, might as well go to Guatemala instead of Arizona. I mean, plane's still going somewhere.
I was talking to somebody tonight about the phrase fear not, because that's been on my mind, and I used it in my blog post last night, and he said, oh, did you know it's in the Bible 365 times?
Wow.
Which is one fear not for every single day.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Right? So.
Hmm.
That's cool.
They are singing. That probably means it's time to wrap up. Thank you so much, ladies. Wow, I really could. I could talk to you all night. It's such a privilege for Dom Reese and I to share this experience with you. And it's truly humbling that young people like yourselves...
Oh, thank you.
...would feel so called to come and serve others when you could be doing so many other things. And not only that you feel so called, but you feel called to bring others with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially want to thank you, Olivia, for your faith and for your persistence with your mom, because obviously it's been a huge blessing for all of us. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And on behalf of Dom Reese and myself, thank you for your service to our Lord and to his children, especially in Santo Tomas, Milpas Altas. And thanks for sharing your stories in the podcast. So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.